The Board of Education regular meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you please lead us in the pledge?
My pledge
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Decker, roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr.
Kendall? Here.
Mr. Bonner?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Here. Are there any members of the public present who wish to address the board? Well, welcome to you all. Let's see. Presentations, reports, and initiatives.
This evening, we are thrilled to be back at Abraham Lincoln School, where we will have our first school visit, and we've asked that our schools give some thought to their PLC journey and how that has unfolded for them. And so Shannon Cross, principal here, and her staff of teachers are going to share a little bit about their journey this evening, I mean, both through dialogue and some video. So I'm going to turn it over to Shannon, who can introduce the presentation.
Good evening. Our outcomes for tonight, and actually I'm flying solo, with a whole group of staff members who helped in allowing me to come in their classrooms and take pictures and audio tape some of their professional development work. And also, as you can see from our posters, these are team slogans that every team at Lincoln created in our first faculty meeting, our first staff meeting, where they wanted to share, discuss among themselves as a team, and share with the rest of the staff who they believe they are as a team and where they are in their PLC journey. But the outcomes for this evening are to share with you where we are in our learning journey as a PLC at Lincoln, where we've been, and what it looks like now, and some tools and discoveries that you have before you are. First, the logo of our amazing team, starting over on the end, we have first grade with the heart, and you can see they drew pictures of muscles and a big heart, and they shared with the staff that describes that they do everything they do with passion, with a lot of muscle and strength behind them, as well as becoming stronger as a team and building the trust that they need to function in that way. And if, I'm not sure if you can see, but in the bubble above their head are children. Mm-hmm. And every decision they make is based on behalf of kids. You can see fifth grade has the shield. I'm not sure which fifth grade artist drew that, but that's a picture of the whole entire team and where they are in the process of it. Enough with the old, and now they're just ready to do it, to do all of the work that they have. Underneath that, we have Go With Your Strength. That's our special education team, where they're talking about finding the strengths in kids and developing goals and working that muscle and power among themselves as teams. Our nurse's office, healing hearts, happy hands. Our third grade team, which is on the other side, you probably can't see it, says third grade rock. And just that they each bring a different passion to their team, a different strength to their team. The fourth grade is the Learning Lighthouse, where they're learning to become a beacon for others and a beacon for their kids, as well as their kids being a beacon to them. Always thinking, always learning, that was our library team, learning those 21st century skills, learning reader's workshop, writer's workshop, learning to innovate, learning to collaborate with the whole school. Our Chris team, we all read. Our ELL team, all for one and one for all. Their team slogan was go slow and grow. Mm-hmm. Go slow in that they have a new curriculum that they are learning, as well as learning their kids, as well as they're becoming a new team, and that they are growing themselves as well as helping their kids to grow. Phenomenal second grade team, which says we have it all and then some, with kids in the center, passion with the heart. Organization, calendar, mapping out their plans, reading, math, humor, this is a joke book on it, and then their technology skills as well, and kindergarten, which says helping kids bloom, and you can see from a seed all the way up to a flower, so that's just a little bit of insight on them, as well as a packet to share with you where we are, where we've been, and where we are now. And this was actually a discovery for myself, in that it kind of goes back chronologically. And I could have done this with any team. I was telling some teachers earlier, actually, I could have pulled any one of the teams. But you can see this is from a literacy team meeting in 2007 and the substance of that meeting then. And what that looked like at that time, moving through to 2009, and what it looked like then, moving to 2011, and the four essential questions that they're now asking, and some of which they answer, and then what they expect kids to learn, which is this sheet here, which all of the teams have done at Lincoln. And this is just for them in literacy for Unit 1 in the first trimester, what their standards are, what an example of rigor is, what their learning steps are, which they pulled from the literacy curriculum, and their common assessment, when they're going to teach it. And then if you keep moving forward, you'll see an example of the common assessment and rubrics that they have a team that aligned with each one of those. Examples, curious George retelling for trimester one, some phonemic awareness assessment, nonsense word assessment, a writing rubric for fiction and nonfiction, first grade rubric for unit two of sense of story, and then moving on, we'll see examples from second grade of their team SMART goal. What they're going to do to achieve that goal, who's responsible, the time frame in which they plan to accomplish it, what their team working agreements are, what their accountability strategies are, and then on the very last page in your packet, small group instruction and meeting the needs of all learners. And one thing we have learned as a staff and in a professional learning community, we have to not only look at what our students need, but we also have to look at what our staff needs for their learning curve. And we have to build the skills in ourselves and learn and grow from each other. And we have an amazing, talented staff. Every single person in this building comes to work every day wanting to do the best that they can for kids, each with their unique skills and strengths as well as weaknesses, self included. And we have to rely on each other and learn from each other in doing that. And this was in a shift that we had with our ELL students this year in third, fourth, and fifth grade. And so we had professional development that we planned with help of our literacy specialists for third, fourth, and fifth grade teachers, in which our staff went in and observed some first and second grade teachers who took the risk of allowing others to come in the classroom and observe them. But what we ended up finding through the process, which I hope you'll see in the video, is that we all learned and grew from one another throughout that process. And then another tool before you is just an example of our faculty meetings and what that looks like. This is kind of a map from now until January. Our focus as a staff is small group instruction in literacy and small group instruction in math. And this just goes to show you what our purpose for each of those meetings are and what we hope to gain from that, as well as the beginning of our staff book study. So I'm going to have my...
When I saw what you were doing, it was really helpful. And
that's great. That's
what? It does.
The deeper understanding of.
I wish every teacher could.
Actually, I've changed things that I do.
Sure.
And then I looked at, is there a correlation of what they're doing and what I'm at a different level, and I'm not doing that, which made a little self-searching. You know, I think I am doing it in some areas, but there are other areas I need to step on.
Are
PLC is not just our team of fourth grade people that our PLC is talking to, combining with, you know, and very gracious in giving us information, you guys sharing all of your, well, first of all, even just allowing us to come in and do what you do was, I know how I would feel about doing that, and just opening yourself up to us.
It is a puzzle, and every year is different, and we always have to look at it as a learning experience. And I think I do feel stressed, but it's more from a fact of I need to learn to give myself time.
You don't want to feel like this, and you feel like time is precious, and you want to get to know this and wrap your arms around them as good as possible. And that, I think, is where Lincoln's part of that, and it's where I think the teachers of Lincoln are at. It was a great support to all be here together. And saying, okay, let's look at this and see how it will have to work in our rooms and you guys sharing how you do it.
I'm glad I did it.
And just to reflect, like, when we were in here, we were getting ideas from each other. We went over it before, like, what we were doing, and you were doing pretty good, and it was nice to even talk that out. So I went from, like, my little kids for in the first grade and then talking to third grade. So I was really getting the whole spectrum of where they were in my classroom.
Always used to, sadly, kind of teach to the middle, bring it down a little bit, bring it up a little bit. And I'm wondering if that range didn't exist a long time ago, and some kids just kind of coasted through school. You know, I am kind of proud of that. the fact that we're acknowledging that enormous range in teaching students.
Watching you guys, how it was just really focused. It was very, it is word work. It is decoding. It is comprehension. Bam, bam, bam. And not to get overwhelmed with how much needs they have.
Yeah, but I think a real big help is the materials that we...
Yes.
When you have the materials, it's so much easier.
I've always had a plethora of materials. I've always had an idea of what to do with them, and sometimes it's overwhelming, but going in and seeing somebody model it for me is actually the biggest deal.
And the kids were totally comfortable. Once you know how to do the routine,
you're right. Right.
This student is amazing, and he's so smart, and has such motivation to learn, so it really made it easy. So next week, I'm actually going to move up another book level and try, you know, and then pull in another student.
I gave a picture book Blake and wrote this story underneath the pictures.
Using the pictures.
And he had to put the word hook in. I said, get the turtle head hook. I said, where did you get that word? I don't know. I said, how does that cost some word? I said, how did you get hook? And he said it right, hook. I went, all right, somebody told this word.
Yeah, he said the hook was in the turtle's mouth.
Yeah, I'm looking at him, I went, where'd you get that?
Well, he took the pictures and
he took the pictures. And he wrote a story, and it was you know, it's like 20 pages. And he said, "Here's a story. His story, it's amazing. It wasn't amazing for a B person. It was amazing. It was amazing."
Several of your members of your professional learning community here. Is it possible that they might introduce themselves to the board this evening?
Ann Hartnott, fifth grade.
Ann Kleinberg, fifth grade. Ryan Pindar, fifth grade.
Lori Kwasek, second grade.
Hi, Katie Schkowski, second grade.
Christine Schumacher,
Margaret Peter, second grade.
Linda Schweithofer, assistant principal.
Kathy Booth, fourth grade.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming. Questions?
My more a comment looking at where you started in 2007 to just the depth of your agendas and what it is that you're actually doing at your PLC meetings. I can only assume that you feel like you're getting a lot of work accomplished. Based on what we're seeing.
It's actually interesting that you should say that, because that was something I was reflecting with Ann actually, from the staff that are here, in that a lot of times when you're in it, you don't see it. Because mm-hmm. you have so much work that still needs to be done, and a vision of what it can be and where you want to be, that you lose sight of where you are and where you have been. And that you don't take the time to reflect and celebrate on that, and that's something that we're working on actually as a staff this year, is celebrating those small successes and creating small goals and taking the time to reflect and celebrate that throughout the process.
And there's a lot to celebrate.
Yes.
I guess I would ask Shannon and anyone who wants to comment. The professional learning community is something that, as you just described, can be as broad and as deep as you want it to be. It serves certain purposes. So, you know, looking at where you are now and the work that you have ahead of you, what are the objectives going into these next this year and certainly into the next year as you vision ahead to accomplish as PLCs in the school?
I think every team has their own SMART goals, but as an overall staff, I think this year we're focused on core instruction in the classroom and what solid core instruction looks like in literacy, and as well as math next year when we roll that out with the Common Core in math. But just really deepening that level and learning and growing from each other with that, as well as developing our pyramid of interventions for RTI and our building leadership team, and really focusing on our students and what we can do to take them to the next level, no matter where they are on the spectrum.
You know, to Tara's point and what you had said, when this is my fifth year on the board, but I've had children in the school district for the last 14 years, and so the difference between when my daughter started in first grade at Churchill and to, you know, where even my son was 4 years later, and then all the way through, I think the takeaway in listening to you speak tonight, there are a couple things for me. I think all the board members, in terms of our own work in industry, we also work with rubrics and goals and objectives and, you know, doing strategy and planning and all that. And so I can absolutely resonate with how difficult it is to be in the middle of that and not feel like you're getting any traction. You feel like you're on a hamster wheel. So I just want to say that the PLCs in all of our schools, I know, are working really hard to make sure that you do that reflection so that you are accomplishing and moving forward, because I think that that's part of it, is stopping. We've accomplished this. It's moved on. The other thing, and I'm glad that you had this in the video, is very often, because we don't have the depth of understanding, and certainly we have more of it as board members, but I would say maybe the day-to-day parent and certainly community member sometimes does not understand the critical nature of the questions that you're asking to do the depth of work that you do. And so there's sometimes a generalization, well, the standards aren't that tough, or the rigor isn't that hard, and that type of thing. And my takeaway, and when I'm asked about this now moving forward, will be that, in fact, you are asking very significant questions so that you can challenge each other and yourselves to do what you just described, which is to do that core work, and then, you know, accomplish what each of the teams has said they want to accomplish in terms of the year. So that, to me, is a critical part of this, is the kind of questioning and the probing questions that you ask and that you force yourself to answer. So thank you for sharing that tonight, too. It's appreciated.
I just want to make a shameless plug for the staff. There are some former, my kids here, obviously, and there are some former teachers, that my children have had, and some current teachers that they've had, and we are nothing but pleased with the results that have, and I know the rest of the board notice the hard work and dedication you guys put in. So thank you. Keep up the hard work.
When are the meeting times then for all the different meetings, like PLC and like these group meetings? Are these like SIP days or?
They are during the week when we realign the schedule.
Okay.
To line up the PLC times with the special.
That's what
so
I thought.
Each team could have that 45 minutes. And I believe third, fourth, and fifth grade are on Monday for literacy. K-1-2 are Tuesday morning. And then math is all day Thursday. And the expectation is that they have a co-planning meeting in literacy every week where they're focusing on the guiding questions, the four critical questions, and in math, it's every other week.
Excellent. Consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. Excellent. And thank you, Shannon, for your leadership as well. Nice job, you guys. Thank you.
And we invite you to stay for the remainder of the board meeting, but also understand that in order to be as fresh as you are each morning, you should probably still have another couple hours of work to do.
Thank you very much. Very much for coming. All right. Next item are our action items, our consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, which includes human resources, the personnel report, employment recommendations, internal transfers, resignations, resignation and retirement, dismissal. Item two, other matters. Board meeting minutes of September 7th, 2011, a special meeting and closed session, and September 12th, 2011, regular meeting and closed session.
Motion.
Have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Kendall?
Yes.
Mrs. Andre?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Glass?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Munson?
Yes. On to the superintendent's recommendations. The first one is the FGM contract renewal. At its September 12, 2011 regular meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to renew its contract with FGM Architects, who has served as the district's architect of record for the past several years. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second? Any discussion? Well, the policy indicates that we will look at, as needed, our contracts with our professional engineers and architects. And if we chose to go out to bid, there is a very specific process outlined in policy, but what our procedure says is that it will annually affirm. And what the Finance Committee asked us to do is to build a rubric that would give a more detailed understanding of that affirmation on an annual basis. The procedure.
I'm very happy with that. This is the final answer.
Yeah. Good information. Anything else? Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Second item is the Hadley Auditorium sound system replacement. At its September 12, 2011 regular meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to approve going out to bid for the first of a three-phase capital improvements project to update the audio and lighting equipment at Hadley, beginning with the audio system, with an anticipated cost of $38,000. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation presented?
Motion. Second.
Discussion.
What is this?
Yeah, I just had a question on the diagrams you sent us with the headsets. Are these headsets worn by,
those in the sound booth?
It could be in both. Well, I was saying usually
they're smaller, unobtrusive. Right. Those are probably sound communicating between the sound booth and the director backstage.
Oh, okay.
And I would like to thank Dan. He called and asked some questions of Bob about the more detailed information on this request for the sound equipment. And so that's what you have, the full packet at your tables to give you a better picture of what all the exact items are that are going to be purchased.
Now, we had at our last meeting an anticipated cost of $38,000.
That recommendation really is, if you look in the board report, it's $44,000, right. Not $38,000. So we probably should restate the motion with
$44,000. Okay. Let me reread the motion. Hadley Auditorium Sound.
The motion to approve.
Sorry. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation presented at a cost of $44,000? Thank you, John. Second?
Second.
Okay, discussion.
thank you for the information. It's a bit overwhelming, so it'd be more helpful. You know, typically what we've seen in the past is like just some line, you know.
The delineation of just each of the items.
So I guess what I'm seeing is belt packs, which are the for the wireless parts. And then obviously the panels, and then soundboard, receivers, loudspeakers.
So do you have a question of is all this included?
Well, I didn't know what quantity, you know, what are the quantities of some of these?
So how many rolling racks have you purchased?
Are you asking for a disaggregated
bill of materials?
Yeah, just what...
And cost of each, right, for a total? Does that mean that you would not be willing to approve this at this point?
I just want to make sure we're getting everything and we got it all covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so before it was just a $30,000 figure, and now we're going to have some detail around it. So I'm just looking for, I guess, the kind of bridge we got between.
Mm-hmm. What's the gap?
Is this a vote or is it a discussion?
This is a vote tonight.
It's a vote, right. To approve the development of bid documents at the bottom of the recommendation. So, I mean, the request is to go to bid.
For each of the items.
For each of the items. So when it comes back, we're going to have, as Bob usually does, a table with detail in terms of, to your point, Dan, in terms of what we're purchasing, how much, and then what the cost is, depending on what bids come back.
Right.
So it seems to me that that's probably going to answer some of the questions in terms of the bid
once
document.
Once the bid comes back.
Once it goes out.
So I assume they know everything we need.
These are the items that will be included in the bid packet. It's possible that when the bid comes back, if those items cost differently than what we would expect, we may bring back a recommendation to you that includes only partial of that. We've looked at this as a phased implementation, so it's possible that some of those might not be included.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know yet.
I know in previous bids, too, we've asked if, I forget what it was for, but we've asked if they could purchase, you know, certain items from one bid respondent and certain items from another in order to leverage some of the cost.
Right.
So
I don't know if we'll do
that. We don't
know
if we can do that. But
well, I think that's we ask that when we know we can get our best.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how many people will bid.
Right.
So I don't know yet if this bid will go out for a full package,
mm-hmm,
or whether it'll go out for pieces of a package.
Okay. But we know we're going to have that detail come back at some
level.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Once we have a full bid, then you'll have the disaggregated list for that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Any other questions? Good question. All right. Roll call.
Mr. Bondria?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Superintendent's report.
Your enrollment report is included in your packet. I did want to note that two things. One, there was an article in the paper this morning about Nutrier's enrollments dropping as it related to all of the feeder elementary schools not having as much turnover in their communities, houses not being sold and new families not moving in. I thought that is kind of a phenomenon that surrounds us, and we've not been a victim to a decreasing enrollment, but very, very stable enrollment. I also want to mention the board agreed to an update to our demographic study, and we are currently in the process of preparing the updated data to send to John Casarda for our updated report. So we'll see whether the trend may point in that direction for us or not, mm-hmm, in the future. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention, Whitney Crouch, who is a first grade teacher at Churchill Elementary School, had a surprise visit the other day from Office Max. She was nominated by one of the parents over there to receive kind of a Teacher of the Year award, and they came in with balloons and a new teacher desk and just all kinds of fanfare with many, many freebies for her students. And she's now sort of in the process of trying to find homes for some of those freebies, because graphing calculators were not really what her first graders probably were ready for. Though she's looking for homes in the fifth grade, and I'm sure they'll find something. But it was a surprise to her, and so a really wonderful, wonderful experience.
I hate to ask something on the report, but it looks like we had nine students at Churchill. When a new student comes in, are they given a choice?
We have not. No.
Okay.
You know, you raise a good question, though. I'm going to have to check the law to see whether or not we offered them choice. You know, I think we did say the deadline. We set a deadline for making a change, and so in honoring that deadline, we probably would just wait until the following year.
Mm-hmm.
Good question, though. I probably will check the law to see if
to
it doesn't require me to do that.
All right, thank you. Board reports. Anything from that?
I attended the Franklin PTA and talked about the choice at Churchill. And we had some good questions, and some parents from Churchill were there from PTA and to help talk about
parent
the situation, also the parent perspective. So I think it was a good conversation all around.
Good turnout.
Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of positive things from the parents who were there, and I think they did a good job of, you know, kind of talking a little bit about it. The other thing I thought in discussing it with some of the parents was interesting, and it's really just showing their support for Churchill School. And, you know, like we've all said a number of times, that it really should not be a mark against Churchill, but it's actually, you know, something to I don't want to say band together, but, you know, show our support, because it's really not reflective of the learning that goes on in that school.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tara.
I attended a PTA meeting at Abraham Lincoln last week, and Janet gave a wonderful presentation that very well attended. First PTA meeting of the season, so everything went very, very well.
Are the board reports?
I attended the Hadley PTA,
mm-hmm.
as did Erica.
As a parent.
And the Churchill choice came up, of course. But Dr. Janzoff did a nice job of explaining to mm-hmm. those who had questions you know, what the process was and what schools it affected, and he did a nice job at that. Just the normal first meeting work, they approved their budget and approved the officers and such, and they also commended the work on the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
They all said that it was a very nice job, well needed, and to be well used in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Great to hear that.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things. A policy committee met on September 22nd, and I want to welcome Sam to policy. I had to actually phone in. I was on my way to my daughter's college and had to do a phone in, so I want to thank Sam, especially for his first meeting, and Ann and Maureen Stecker for being willing to let me drop a call every once in a while and come back on. I also want to thank Dan, because we were actually bridging the work that Dan and I had done together on Section 8, which was really helpful, and so we moved through that, and thank Dan publicly for the last 2 years of serving on policy with me. Our next meeting is scheduled for October 25th, and we'll be moving forward with Section 8 and bringing that to the board for a reading. As well as some other not pressing updates, but some areas of policy that needs to be updated that Maureen does through our IASB affiliation with press, so I thank her for that. So our next meeting is October 25th. I also want to, I know that Ann brought this up in the Thursday letter, and all of us at one point or another sitting at this table have attended the fall dinner meeting for the DuPage Illinois Association of School Boards, IASB. I want to thank Sam and Drew for being able to go. Too bad Dan couldn't. He was on his way to Cleveland. And he said just a minute ago he would have rather been at the dinner meeting. So, next time. Anna as well. She did a nice summary of it. I just want to share my kind of mental thought process, because I think all of us have had one of these moments where we're sitting there as board members and listening to the Illinois State Board of Education talk about what's coming down the pike. And I know that all of us have received the information on Senate Bill 7. So I will certainly open up to Sam and Drew for their comment as well. But I was taking some notes, and this was just my takeaway. Darren Reisberg, who's the general counsel for the Illinois State Board of Education, presented a really compelling challenge to the board members, superintendents, assistant supes, administrators who were there, principals, with regard to Senate Bill 7 and the significant changes it brings. For me as a board member, I think that what it said to me is that this really moves the needle for boards of education to have to be very much on top of how this bill now changes some of the language and how we work, certainly within districts, with each other, with our partners in our teachers' association, with our administration, our leadership, et cetera, and just the impact on policy, student performance issues, growth, teacher evaluation, all those pieces. And so I think we talked about this at the beginning of the year when we had a board workshop, and we all said we have a busy next couple years. And for me, the weight that I felt sitting there listening to this was this additional recognition of how we really need to be on our game and strategic and also tactical about this and these changes. So, you know, I'll open to Sam or Drew in terms of any other comment about that as well.
I'd just like to shift gears relating to the dinner. There was an award that was given out for Erica for reaching level 2.
Well, thank you.
And I think the entire board should acknowledge Erica's hard work to get to that point. So round of applause.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I don't have anything to add about the meeting, and you covered that pretty well. But you did remind me that I am now the delegate to the ISB.
Yes, Sam, you are.
I have received those new proposals, so I will be very diligently perusing those and making some recommendations to the entire board.
So hopefully, you'll be able to make those recommendations at the first meeting of November, so that you'll be able to take the feedback to the conference November 18th. That's your timeline.
And I'm sure Mr. Solak will be happy to share his former grids. Yes.
Oh, I think Dan has it now.
Dan had it.
They've already been shared.
Okay. I forgot.
And
that
good template,
Sam.
Yeah. Thank you for taking that on, Sam. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Last thing is around our board goals. In the last Thursday letter, Ann sent a summary of our board goals from our workshop, and I think did a really nice job of laying this out in a rubric that's very easy to understand. I want to make a couple of comments. One is on goal 3, which is to maintain a fiscal philosophy to help guide the board's financial priorities that are annually reviewed for alignment with state guidelines and district priorities. One of the what's for us was this area around a fund balance value in dollar amount. And the when we had talked about was the end of November at the request of Dan, which is a good request. We want to move that forward. So much appreciation to Ann and Bob, whose plates are always full, are taking the data that they've collected and are going to provide a draft to both policy committee, which we had talked about it coming to policy, as well as to finance and facilities at late October, early November, to have some framework of language around that so we can have that to discuss. So thank you for doing that.
A draft of the fund balance policy.
Right. We'll draft something. We'll share it with the whole board.
Yeah.
It'll get... more vetted through finance and policy, but I certainly will give the information that I have to the whole board.
And then the other one is around goal two, which is our communication goal. Goal number two, develop and enact a community engagement plan, which will include several specific actions during the 2011-2012 school year. And in discussing this with Ann, as I thought through this, I'd like to try and move this relatively quickly. And again, the board has a lot of on its plate. This is specifically around the engagement plan. We talked about developing some strategies for at least having three activities before the end of the fiscal year, so 2012. And so I'd like to do is ask a board member to meet with me separately to discuss that and kind of and to flesh out an action plan that we can bring back to the board. And certainly I welcome any communication. I'm looking for one person so that we can do that one-to-one and not have to post a meeting for the Open Meetings Act. But I would certainly welcome, of course, any other feedback via email or comment on what those activities might be. I did reach out to Dan, looking down to Dan a lot tonight, because he has had a lot of good ideas around this, and so I had reached out to him, and he said he'd be willing to do that depending on if anybody else jumped up and grabbed that opportunity. So would you, you still open to?
Still open.
Okay, I'll buy you coffee. So we will do that as quickly as possible and then be able to get something back to the rest of the board so we can get some things on the calendar, dates on the calendar. And that's it. Thank you.
Did you say you're looking for a dollar amount or a percentage of revenue?
The way the goal reads...
Oh, you're talking about
the fund balance.
For the fund balance. We're going to just bring something to you and let you respond to it. That we have yet to determine exactly what it'll be. We've looked at about 12 policies, and we've done a review of all of our benchmark districts and to see what policies are out there. So whether we bring you a dollar amount, or it'll probably be a percentage
mm-hmm.
in terms of fund balance, okay. as well as some other criteria in there.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying, Stephen. Thank you, Dan. We'll talk. All right. Let's see. Any other board reports? Discussion items.
Our first discussion item has been at finance for a discussion and recommended to move forward. We're looking to have a purchase of 100 iPads that would extend our pilot of using tablet technologies in our buildings. And currently our schools are in different places. Some schools have purchased some, as you can see in the report. Hadley has some, Churchill has some, Franklin has some, and we'd like to even that out so that there would be 30 iPads to Forest Glen, 10 to Churchill, 20 to Hadley, and 10 to Franklin, and 30 to Lincoln, creating an even distribution throughout the building, the buildings for some pilot use and how we're accessing the tablet technology, how we might make the most of that tablet technology. In a variety of ways, and I want to note that Dan had asked a question about that and asked about the different applications that we might be using, and so we did send Dan an attachment today of several of the applications, and Mike can talk a little bit more about that if there are questions about it, but
I'd ask that too.
We really, and we can send that out to everybody, so you can take a look at what kinds of apps we're currently looking at. But we're really looking at how is tablet technology different in its use and for students from the netbooks. So our goal is to build a one-to-one access for students in a variety of devices. And so this is a step in that direction. It's a part of the long-range technology plan. And while some people have asked, is this about the Mac? It's not about Mac. It's really about tablet technology. But at this point, Mike's recommendation is for the iPad because it is the most advanced technology in that arena, though we are monitoring and looking at all of the emerging tablets and believe that eventually mm-hmm. there will be multiple choices for mm-hmm. us in terms of which is the best technology for us to use. So
it says iPad. Is it iPad or is it iPad 2 or is it iPad?
It's iPad 2.
It is 2.
Also, finance, we had talked about whether they were dedicated to the 21st century classrooms or whether they were a common resource in the LLC that all classes had access.
Well, there are 30. We talked about designating 5 at each for the 21st century learning classrooms to share. So there would be access to all of the other iPads in the building. We wouldn't be putting all of those iPads into the 21st century classroom.
I was going to answer the same question.
I just don't think they can use them all the time.
Right. So
every teacher should demonstrate what they're going to do with them, and they're a shared resource. We've got these classrooms that have all the new furniture, everything else, and now we're putting 5 dedicated iPads in there. I think they should be available to everyone.
Okay. Any other comments?
Well, I know that that had come up at finance, and I was thinking a little bit about it, and I guess my sense, and Mike, chirp in because you've been working with the technologists in the classrooms too, is that since we have these model classrooms, these 21st century classrooms, that part of really testing that model is the versatility of what's in the room. So whether it's furnishings or clustering or layout or technology, my sense, and correct me if I'm wrong in terms of the objective behind it, is to have these iPads, these tablets, so that the teacher on any in any given curriculum or day can draw from those, and it can be either spontaneous or planned. Children can use them if they're working on something or if they're done with an assignment, that they can take the tablet and do some things with them. I don't know. This is just me kind of thinking through it.
Well, part of our expectation in the 21st century classroom is to look at a wide variety of instructional approaches, a wide variety of delivery of instruction, and using technology is part of that goal in the 21st century classroom. What's the right technology? And so I don't believe that this is an excessive amount of technology to put into those classrooms and have an expectation that those teachers are going to use them. and we do have expectations that they're meeting as kind of a learning group to talk about how they're setting up the classrooms, sharing and what they're using, how they're using their technology. So we did not see that as an excessive amount or creating an inequitable situation, because we want them to be a demonstration classroom. And if we're not going to give them the resources that we would expect all teachers to be using over the course of the next several years, that was our thinking, that this is an expectation that they would have this technology and they would use it.
Mm-hmm. I would ask you to look at how you maximize the utilization of the asset. Because I don't know if you said the same thing, if I'm saying it, but I can't see 100% utilization of, and I guess I would say I'd hope there wouldn't be 100% utilization of an iPad all day long in the classroom.
Well, probably not all day long, but if you've got 5 iPads set up in a station, they're used throughout the day, because students are rotating through stations throughout the day. They're not all doing the same thing at the same time, would be our expectation. And it's possible that 5 iPads could be used throughout the day for different purposes.
Well, have you mapped all that out already or not?
Well, that's what we're meeting with teachers once we get that room set up.
I would say
to.
As part of that, I would look to see if,
how's it going to be
how maximized? You're utilizing the asset, and if there's an opportunity, if you're only using it 30% of the time in the classroom.
Sure. Let me say this, if this makes you feel any better. I don't think there's an intention that they get to hoard equipment.
No, I have that. But you did say before that there's a common set of iPads at every school, that every
there
teacher has a can check them out for the day. Or
they're going to be, at the conclusion, at the end of this purchase, there would be 30 iPads at every building.
Okay.
So there's the ability that 25 iPads are available on a daily basis for everybody in the building.
That demonstrates what they're going to use them for that day.
And they check them out.
Or check them out, okay.
Mm-hmm. Like the netbooks we're doing at Hadley. Mm-hmm. Because our goal is that there's a variety of technology in our buildings so that on any given day, a child will have access to technology on a one-to-one basis. Throughout the day. Now, that does not mean I have a piece of technology in my hand all day long, every day.
Mm-hmm. And I think the question that I had as I was going through this has been answered, in that when you think about it from the perspective of you're setting up these 21st century learnings to be model classrooms, then you have to equip them with all that is needed to be what would a 21st century classroom look like. So I understand why the five or whatever the number is that are designated for that room, but, you know, like John and Steve had said, as long as they're able to be checked out and used throughout the building, because I think that was our other hope with this 21st century classroom, was that even though we couldn't do it in every room, that we would have these things available so that other classrooms would be able to use them.
Well, I think absolutely 25 tablets will be available, and that's a starting point.
Well, and actually, the classrooms already have technology in them.
Right.
They've already got at least 3 to 5 computers in each classroom already for students and staff to use. The recommendation includes 30 iPads for every building that would be available for checkout. It also includes additional iPads for the 21st century classrooms. And the expectation would be that those would be to replace the desktops they already have. So over time, as they get used to using the tablets, they wouldn't need the desktops. So the idea is to
more
start
space.
To get rid of those desktops that are in the classrooms taking up space.
Mm-hmm.
And replacing them with newer, more mobile and flexible technology that they could use in this kind of a rotation in a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea wouldn't be to continue to add to the classroom, but to kind of replace some of the old
mm-hmm.
technology that's fading away
mm-hmm.
and give them the first opportunity to start using some of the newer technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm sure parents are going to start asking, if you're using these, can I send in the ones that we have at home? I mean,
we're talking about
and even to that extent, you know, what apps are you using that, okay, I understand you don't want to use, I understand the privacy issues and you know the control issues of bringing in outside equipment to the school, but being able to let parents know what apps you are using so that we can download them at home and use them on our tablets at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only, I mean, are we buying separate apps at this point? I mean,
we will be. We're starting to evaluate them now. I had sent Dan a list, and I'll send all of you a list. So
these apps would be available to anyone.
Pardon me?
These apps are available to anyone, I guess, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll be able to buy the apps.
Well, right. I'm just saying so that parents actually know what are the ones that you're using in school.
Publish the list.
Publish
right.
the list. There was an excellent presentation last year that CERC did. They had somebody come in. I don't remember. You weren't there. I know Jen was there. It was an excellent presentation about apps and technology
mm-hmm.
with the special ed classrooms, but they were all applicable to, I mean, to all children. So, I mean, it was pages and pages of apps
mm-hmm.
that were just incredible. So this stuff is out there. It's just a matter of being able to communicate and share that information.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we want to also be able to try to eliminate some of that overlap that we may find. So an application that might work for special ed may also work for
right.
some of the primary grades and so on and so forth. So as we start to evaluate these apps,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna look for that as well to see where we have overlap with some of these. Instead of having a dozen apps that basically do the same thing,
mm-hmm. trying to create
narrow that down to one or two apps that
mm-hmm.
they can differentiate with.
So, Mike, this spills a little bit into the next one, but why do we need netbooks? Is that because of compatibility with certain applications?
The netbooks still give us some access, and this is actually the netbook on the next recommendation. It's a slightly newer model. But it gives us access to more of our network resources as things are configured right now. So
it gives you... What do you mean from an infrastructure perspective
mm-hmm.
or
right.
an application?
Right. So any of the tablets now won't log onto our network and give you access to things like email or shared drives or personal drive, resources that we house just on the network here.
And because it's a compatibility issue with Apple?
There's some compatibility issues with Apple, but you're going to find that pretty much with any of the tablets right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really designed to connect to an enterprise network like we have here. So part of the progression is going to start to look to more web-based apps, which the tablets can handle
mm-hmm.
and which we've already begun doing. But the netbooks still give us that full functionality to all the resources on our network that currently none of the tablets will really do for us right now. The only one that I saw that would was the HP product, the Slate. And that was a little overpriced for what you were getting, and I felt a little underpowered for what we could utilize it for. Mm-hmm. The rest of them basically work off of the web infrastructure and the applications that you can download it from.
So just as an example, then, you've got some, whatever, custom apps that we've built in-house here that the Mac couldn't log into, sorry, that the iPad couldn't log into.
No, we don't really have custom apps.
And it's just software packages that we could.
Right. It might be certain softwares. It might be, again, any shared resources. Everybody has their own personal drive, and there are several shared drives that students and teachers access on a regular basis.
So there's a shared drive that people have access to.
Right.
On a server somewhere.
It's right. And if we start to look towards cloud computing, which we wouldn't have to rely anymore on our network infrastructure to log in and authenticate and give you credentials, that would all exist out on the internet, where you could also store your
yeah.
files and collaborate mm-hmm. with them. So that's the direction we're heading. We're just not quite there yet.
Okay.
So the netbooks will help us bridge that gap while we're still able to utilize some of the newer technology and get a better handle on exactly how we're going to fit that in, what we currently have, and what changes we might need to make moving forward to really get full utilization of those products.
Let me, another question, the price you negotiated here, is that I'm assuming that's kind of a volume education discount based,
right.
Is that something that could be offered to parents?
Currently, the way we structure it, no. Then the parents would have to purchase the product through us, and we're really not a hardware reseller here. So,
but we sell supplies every year. I mean, could that be part of
that's the PTA.
Yeah, it's not the district.
Right. School district doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
PTA. Mm-hmm. That admin that was calculated and all that's the PTA.
Not the calculator.
It's hardware. Right.
But I think at this point, when we look at the amount of time and responsibility, probably would not consider at this time going down that road of doing a large purchase for our community through the school district.
Well, and to your point, Mike, you just said we're in those beginning stages of looking at this transition in terms of both the hardware and also ultimately how we're going to configure. And what you said too, I think, just affirms kind of my mental picture. And Terry, you just said this too, is that these 21st century classrooms, this modeling is really a way to really test some of what you're thinking is the way for our technology to go.
Right. And also to see how that snaps in
yeah.
with what we currently have. And
yeah.
Part of the financing agreement that we have with American Capital, since this is a fair market lease that we're looking for here.
Yeah,
at the end of that lease,
mm-hmm.
the leasing company takes that equipment back, and they will offer it on a resale
mm-hmm.
To community members. Mm-hmm. So they will have an opportunity, but it would be.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking at it as an opportunity for the community to get a good price, but just to get more of them in the classroom. And,
I just, in terms of connecting this back to the long-range plan and the bigger picture, Mike's long-range technology plan, we've said this three-year period that we're in with the purchase of the netbooks, I think when Mike brought that to you several months ago, we looked at it as a bridge. I think Mike just used that language that the long-range plan is that the tablets are going to serve for us now a function that keeps us connected to our current infrastructure as we put the other things in place to move to another level of access and availability at that lower cost, hopefully over time. So we actually see, and we just had this conversation last week, that there's a period of time where we're almost expending more money right now than we will be in the years to come, in the next 3 years, because we're in that transition time.
I just wanted to echo some of the comments I made at the Finance Committee on this. I just wish we had there was the ability for these things to link up to the smart board. Just the desire to see that.
Well, there is they do have the ability to hook up to the projector.
Typical slate students at their desk, slate interacting mm-hmm. directly with the smart board itself.
Right. Right now, it won't really work with the smart board because they don't have the software to drive the smart board for the iPads. But you could use it to project and present. It could be used that way. So.
And then also, we talked a little bit about some of the goals for this pilot. So then what would be the end goal? Are we talking then a rollout across the district? Or what, you know, after you did this pilot, what are your outcomes and what would your next step be?
Well, the end goal, since both of these are structured on a 3-year lease plan, the netbooks and the iPads, ideally at the end of this this process, we'll have a structure in place that will support tablet technology. And when we move forward for our next refresh, which would be a few years away, that would be a platform we may look for all the students. In place of desktops and laptops, we might look at tablets that leverage cloud computing more so than an internal infrastructure that we currently support. This would allow us to be able to get our quantities of technology devices available for students, but it would also at least keep our costs about the same without escalating them too dramatically based on the quantities that we would be looking at. At Hadley, for instance, if we're looking for a one-to-one, doing things like a laptop would be too cost prohibitive. But as tablet technology emerges and starts to come down in cost, we could be looking at a greater quantity and volume of those for about the same amount of money that we would spend for just the kind of model that we have now, which it really just isn't enough to provide all of our students.
Mm-hmm. And the just one of the other things that, and also ties into the netbooks, talking about dedicating some of these, I expressed earlier just my concern with, are we getting too many new variables in a 21st century classroom? And so just how will we know which pieces of those are successful from that? I just have a concern with, you know, we're looking at the furniture, the layout, the model, now we're adding the iPads, the netbooks. How are we going to be able to pick apart which pieces are successful and which pieces are not?
Well,
I'm
not sure, probably both of us, but part of it, this maybe isn't the right word, but it's going to be the gestalt of the whole that will be successful. If the furniture isn't working, I think we'll know that separate from the technology. What we'd like to know from the technology standpoint is, how are you using technology as a learning tool? How is it impacting instruction? How is it impacting assessment? How is it impacting students' ability to learn at their own pace, in structuring and constructing their own knowledge? So we'd probably be evaluating the use of the technology from very specific learning perspectives. I think the furniture is, does it work? Does it function to create a learning environment that allows you to give different options to students in your seating, gives options to rearrange your room different ways? I mean, so they're going to be very different evaluations, I think.
And we had met with the 21st Century Pilot Group a couple of weeks ago to discuss expectations and things that were coming. And I would, as I had met with the Hadley staff, when we talked about the rollout for Hadley this summer, I'll follow up with them again at the end of this month to see how things are going, and I would do the same with the 21st century classrooms to see what's working, what's not working, and the teachers here will let you know what's not working. So, you know, if we have any issues that we need to iron out, I think having a face-to-face group meeting to kind of talk about those things, that will give us at least some anecdotal evidence and things that we know we'll need to work on and might need to modify. And as part of the pilot for the iPads, we'll also monitor what kind of applications we're using, just like we do in the labs, to see what's effective, and I guess really what's being used and maybe what's not.
And we're okay with our current wireless infrastructure?
Well, the current wireless infrastructure is going to be an ongoing process. We did reinforce it a bit at Hadley. We have not done so yet in the grade schools yet. Mm-hmm. So as we start looking at our rollout for this coming summer, which would be the grade schools, we'll have to do the same thing as far as reinforcing our wireless, because that's going to become a very pivotal part of our network infrastructure that works efficiently for us and is reliable.
But for this pilot, you're all set?
For this pilot, we'll manage with what we currently have, and we'll utilize it in those rooms. We should have enough to make that work.
Karen, you were going to add something about the 21st century classroom.
Well, I talked to a couple of the teachers today, and they would like to link their inquiry for their evaluation around kind of the different technologies, and so they had already looked at kind of how would we craft that and what would it look like. And one of the things I said to them is it's important that we're able to gather data. So we'll look at whether are there certain 21st century skills that we can obtain via a certain technology, you know, whether, you know, the iPad might do it, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think their target date was like the 17th of this month, but I was going to be able to just kind of craft that, and they wanted to kind of pick the brains of everybody else. So I think they're very interested in, between a smart board, a netbook, or an iPad, mm-hmm. with its uses, what, you know, like where are we getting our big thing for a buck, with, you know, what's we're tracking from, what's happening. So I think we will get some good feedback and hopefully some data around.
And they are a group that was very interested in continuing, you know, they want to meet and create their own study and support group throughout the year in order to mm-hmm. see how that's going.
So it sounds like the board obviously just to be affirmed in that they're really already doing this. They're thinking about these things. They know there's great value in it. It's how they're going to measure their own effectiveness. I think the other, and thank you, Mike, for walking through that again, because I think one of the things we forget as board members is that you're having these ongoing conversations every week, and you have this built into the infrastructure. So, you know, it affirms for us the kind of questions or concerns that we have in terms of wanting to make sure we understand how it's working. The
and
other thing
linked,
I want...
It's linked to the long-range plan.
And it's always so linked to the long-range plan, right. The other thing I think that comes up for me, and you didn't say this, Mike, but I went back to look at the technology rollout from the last presentation, and the netbook and tablet technology does another thing. You talked about it being able to take away some of the hardware and, you know, make rooms more flexible, which we certainly could use in the district. But the other piece is that there is an equality that it starts to create. And I'm thinking about it in particular for our 7th and 8th grade students who have a lot more work on the computer, et cetera, and we have some children, even elementary, of course, that go home and don't have access to computers. So the fact that they can do some of that work in school and have greater access to that, I think, helps to bridge some of where we have gaps in terms of some of our student population. So that's certainly, you know, certainly something that I think is important. So thank you for describing all that.
Mike, I know you know this because you're a technology guy. But, if, you know, for the ones where the iPads are going to be used heavily, if we have to beef up the wireless infrastructure, because there's, you know, nothing will kill this more than a slow network.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to make sure we have the dollars for that.
We just had that conversation last week.
About this recently, so we're starting to plan out our projects for this coming summer. That will be one of the things that we'll have to address.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion?
Are we moving to netbooks or?
We will, yes.
Okay.
We'll bring this back for approval at our next meeting, October 24th. And the final discussion item, which I know we've bled into a little bit, is the purchase of netbooks to be able to implement the online version of our social studies curriculum. And so Mike has put together a recommendation for 135 netbooks for the elementary social studies curriculum and then an additional 40 netbooks for the 21st century classrooms. Again, five per classroom.
So is this social studies curriculum? I would imagine it's web-based and I could use the tablet. But are you saying I can't? And that's why that...
The tablet versus the
netbook. Tablet versus the netbook for this. I'm just going back to the rationale here is the online social studies. It seems to me that you might be able to do that on a tablet, and there are other reasons why we're doing the netbook.
We probably could do it on the tablet, even though we haven't really tested it as much as we have on the netbooks.
Mm-hmm.
But the netbooks, I believe, are still a little less expensive.
Yeah, it's about a $40 savings.
Right, and when you're looking at 150 to 175, it starts to turn into some real money. So I thought the netbooks would still be a good bridge because they could also be utilized for other things besides just the TCI program. That's the main emphasis for the recommendation. But these could also be used for a variety of other applications and would gain access to our network for shared resources. So
I would just make that clearer in our recommendation for next meeting.
But that was my rationale.
And I get it. It's more than just the social studies.
When you say make that clear, that it's for social studies?
No, it's really what's driving this.
Is it cost?
It's more than the social studies. It's some of the other.
Yeah. Okay.
Applications that don't work.
Yeah.
Better cost.
And as we start to plan for the summer rollout, well, we'll already have these in place. So it will minimize some of our workload for what's shaping up to be another very busy summer.
That's why I was confused because I saw the word dedicated to a classroom, but if you only have social studies for a certain amount of time per day, I was just, you can help me.
Well, there's some teachers that had opted for the completely online version of the curriculum. And those are the teachers that are targeted for this equipment right now.
They have the netbook to teach the curriculum.
Right. So the question is...
The netbook is there to support the social studies course.
Could a colleague who wanted to use the netbook on a day that... or during a time during the day when social studies was not being taught, could they use that netbook?
I can see why.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that we'll let the buildings work out in terms of, because our schedules, as you know, are highly complex. So, and they will be sharing these.
That's the same concept that we're working with at Hadley right now, where a team will share a mm-hmm. part. So it's not dedicated to a single classroom, but it's dedicated to a grade level content area,
mm-hmm.
and then they share that card.
Mm-hmm.
So this. Maybe I read this wrong. This is 6th, 7th, and 8th only?
No,
this is elementary.
This is elementary.
We had put tablets as part of our spring recommendations to tablets into, netbooks into the junior high so teams could share them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This recommendation is beyond just your junior high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just curious, why does this not have to go out to bid?
Well, because it's a piece of technology, and we generally go through the same vendor, and we get state pricing for this equipment. So even if we were to go out to bid, those prices are going to come back the same, because they're all functioning off of the state contract that HP has with the state of Illinois.
And so this is I remember we had that Hadley meeting, so this was several months ago,
mm-hmm.
where you had the two or four different mm-hmm. versions you were looking at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so this is just continuing on.
Right. I think we were looking at a couple different models, too. Right. We were pitting Dell against HP.
HP, right.
And I think it might have been another brand or model that we were looking at. And, at least currently, technology purchases like this are not subject to the bid process. So.
Is that adequate to one netbook for two students in terms of the curriculum?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah, okay. I think they could share those. At least as we're using it currently.
And they work collaboratively.
Okay.
What was the cost difference for classrooms for electing online versus textbooks?
It really wasn't a saving from that perspective, but last year what happened is when the teachers had the only community online, some of them contacted me and said, I'm having buyer's remorse, I just want the books, because it was just hard to navigate to be only using and having your kids only having access to the technology. And so it was really just one matter of where the teachers have kind of wanted to really, and I think the future will be more of only online, and so it was kind of,
and the cost was similar.
And so it's been still a struggle because unless they're taking all the kids to the lab, trying to get everybody to log on, and that was this way here, they're not dependent upon getting the lab at the right time. And the schedules are very tight in the building for when that social study time can occur, so they can't all be able to come in at once. Last year, Kelly Vale piloted the 15, and she was... and affordable, so she had a couple little wireless issues in that, but she at least kind of worked through it where the kids were sharing them, and from that perspective, it worked.
Mm-hmm. Good.
We're also hoping that maybe we can do more math testing them. And now that the netbooks are getting a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. that would help decrease the amount of
the lab.
Time.
Yeah. Using the lab.
So.
and can our
hopefully we'll be able to free up the labs a little bit more. Right. At this point, they're just consolidated. I'm afraid a lot of classes aren't able to get in as much as they would like to.
Okay, so this will come back on the 24th for action.
All right, upcoming meetings. October 24th, 2011, special board meeting, Finance Committee of the Whole, that's all of us, at 6 p.m. back at the Central Services Office. So make a note in your calendar. I know that we'll get invites out, but please put that down on your calendar. That'll be everybody at 6 o'clock. October 24th, regular board meeting then starts at 7:30, Central Services, and then November 14th, a regular board meeting to be held at Forest Glen at 7:30. Are there any other matters to be considered by the board tonight?
I think we missed the Finance Committee report.
Under board reports?
Yeah, I was going to ask about what this is.
Tonight, I don't think we talked. I don't think anyone
did. No, no one did give an update on the Finance Committee.
Would you like to do that? Sure. Chair or Dan?
Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead. Other matters? Go right ahead. Let's do Finance.
We talked about the Hadley parking lot and the stormwater project, basically reviewing these six or seven different options that had been kind of laid out conceptually. We looked at all of them. There were a variety of the keeping the existing detention as is, keeping everything the same and just pretty much refinishing the surface, all the way to a combination of a fully underwater detention and some hybrids in between of partial underwater detention, partial above surface detention. We've generated a list of questions on that with Dan because it appeared that when you have above ground detention, the area size was a lot larger than our existing, so just trying to understand some questions around that, our clarification around that. We talked about some potential ideas to the above ground detention area. You know, what if we could leave it above ground but take some of the positive attributes out of the below ground situation, in particular to the traffic flow? Because I'm trying to look at what are some ways we can keep it the same and let's still improve it. We also talked about communication around that to some of the local residents and the timing of that, just to see, you know, what can get some early input rather than later. And so I believe and
Clint, I'm sorry, the light go out, please, as well.
Oh yes. Then also there was the alternate where currently the buses all park on Glencoe when they pick up the students at the end of the day. And so there was an alternative option there where you would basically create in some curb cuts, off-street parking for those vehicles, which could also be used for cars as well to help improve traffic flow on Glencoe. And extensive notes on our discussion. I was going to take that feedback back to Bob, who was not able to join us this evening. And so at our next meeting, we will be going over those, the two recommendations plus the alternate at Finance and at the board. And then from there.
Correct. So that will be that when we're all here on the 24th.
Yes.
Together.
Yes.
And just as a reminder, that the next step is the seeking board approval to go out to bid.
Right.
On the projects, not to approve the project.
And then that was the long-term item that took the most amount of time. Then we just briefly discussed some of the other summer capital projects, which included the painting, continuing the new paint scheme you see here at Lincoln across the rest of the district. Mm-hmm. And then there was a miscellaneous bucket of district-led projects, which will get led at a later date.
What's the
doors? Doors was mentioned. Then we finalized it with discussion on the creation of the District Finance Advisory Committee.
Can I ask a question about this before you go to the next one?
Okay.
I don't know if I'm reading this right, but the alternative C1, the 36 cars.
For buses. It's a bus drop-off that could be used for parking, similar to the cutout at Franklin.
So we should be, when we go through these, we should be looking at alternative C1. It says 36 cars. So comparing it to the other ones, we shouldn't look at it as we only have 36 cars that can park. This is actually an additional 36 buses, or a place that can accommodate 36 buses.
No, it's actually a cutout that would accommodate 15 buses, and when those buses aren't there, then parking could be, you know, you could use that for parking. So really,
so alternative C1 could actually go with option 5A, 6, 7.
It could. It could. Right now it's being listed as an alternate.
So it's an additional consideration that we could tack on.
Which we think would make the flow of traffic a little bit easier on Glencoe, because we now have so many buses lined up there with no, you know, there's no cutaway, so it really
impedes
traffic.
We're actually cutting into the property to make that happen.
So we will be bringing, this is a large sheet, you may certainly may take those copies with you, but based on the Finance Committee conversation, we'll just be bringing back two recommendations and alternate C.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is option 8 dead?
Yes.
Okay, good. And
the 5A and 10 are the only options still on the table. Okay. 10 with modifications.
5A and
10. Okay. So we should review those to be prepared for the
24th. If you're going to change, there's no reason to just move the above ground defenses to a different area.
So it's either above ground or below ground.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then when we have this special meeting, whatever, of the whole,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's automatically correct, but would that be, would we have, we won't have cost estimates here if we're going out to bid.
We're just looking at going out to bid. And we're only going to spend a very small time at finance on this topic, because our Finance Committee of the Whole is really about talking about our two-year budget.
Right. Which we'll get in advance.
As soon as we can get it.
Just
the
want
Thursday
to have,
before.
You know, to the point of this being a tight time frame on the 24th, so the, if you have questions ahead of time that Bob could answer, we should get those to him and be prepared for that conversation. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Drew. And Steve.
So, again, the last part was just the creation of the District Finance Advisory Committee. We just had a policy. There was a fleshed out policy about that, and just not policy, but description.
Yeah.
Very good description of what would happen. So we talked about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And Drew, who's going to work?
Drew is going to work with Bob and me on looking at criteria for a selection of a committee.
Mm-hmm.
What's this committee for?
Finance advisory. We talked a little bit about that, I think,
good.
During.
Yep, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Any members of the public who wish to address the board at this point?
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to know. You talked about the notebooks and the iPads. Are there going to be any additional teacher training or receiving the notebooks or iPads? Because we did have training for the smart boards.
Mm-hmm.
Are we assuming that teachers who use the smart boards also use the iPads?
Well, there definitely be training on the iPads. The notebooks, or the netbooks, rather, are just laptops. So, but Christina Kellum always offers opportunities for training on those as well after school. So.
Because I know they're going to be training still for smartphones.
Right.
I'm concerned about the amount of time that they accept the others. There'll be more training?
Well, the netbooks, the iPads would just be sort of an overview of how the device works and how to use it. As we start getting more apps to be used, there would definitely be training available for those apps.
Yeah, because I think we're assuming that, you know, everybody else has to be required, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. But definitely for the iPads, you say it's a new platform, it's going to be somewhat unfamiliar to some people, but yes, we'll definitely have training.
Mr. Teachers.
Well, here's what I'm concerned about, because I live in my building, but there's a lot of meetings for smart boards, which they agreed to do. Now if they put them for the iPads.
Yeah, the iPads, nobody's getting those individually.
Just the 21st Century Classroom. And the 21st Century Classroom will be forming their own study groups. So it will be just like you've done in the past, where when laptops became available, you checked them out as you, and you learned them as you kind of went, and Christina serves as an, you know, a support system for that.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit is going to be on the job learning it in, for those who are interested.
Thank you, Ann.
We've never done that in the past.
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Same as yours.
Or is there any
teacher purchase?
Actually, we did do that.
You know, I guess I want to just stop here because we're in a board meeting and this is public comment time, so it's not really dialogue time, and I don't want to cut off your ideas or anything like that. What I will say is that there seems to be an interest in the district becoming a purchasing agent, so I'm not averse to exploring that possibility, but as I said, I have some concerns about the amount of resources that we have to become to funnel that kind of work through the system in terms of the other things that the other priorities that we have.
Yeah, I guess I would only say that I think you have processes in place for doing that today, and maybe you look at that.
Discussion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No questions.
One last comment. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the past, we did have the opportunity to buy computers when we first came to school a long time ago. I just wanted to throw that out there, which was a nice menu for teachers to buy into.
Okay. Thank you. All right. The board is determined it does not have a need to adjourn to closed session. May I have a motion to adjourn the October 11th, 2011 regular board meeting?
Mm-hmm.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much.